It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to the 10 o'clock hour of Money Matters. We started today at 9:30. Went right to the phones here in a week where the Dow Jones dropped over 1,400 points. Just in a week. What's happening in the world? Well, there's a lot happening. So good morning. Thanks for tuning in here. Maybe there's a little bit of a sense of calm when you get Sunday morning, you turn on WSB. You turn on WSB when, I don't know, maybe there's some angst. Maybe there's a problem with traffic. Maybe there's a problem with weather. Maybe, and you tune into WSB. If I'm stuck on a road and I can't get anywhere, and if I don't have WSB on, I'm finding a button. Give me WSB radio. Give me WSB radio. And I have these terribly designed preset buttons in my car that are, you know, you're used to an iPhone or smartphone. It's just a little touch and it works perfectly. I've got a car where it's supposed to be a touch something, but it was designed in the dinosaur age and it's not working. I'm trying to get to WSB if I'm stuck. And I'm tuning into WSB radio when the tornado ripped through or the weather came through this week. Tuning into WSB. I'm actually on the WSB app for that. Let's go to listen to WSB. Is this thing coming through? I think this is Tuesday night, Wednesday night. So much so that this is the first time that Lynn and I have ever done this. We went downstairs. No, we went upstairs, got our kids, and this was around midnight, woke everybody up, took them to the basement, and we all slept in one big room because of the worry of some big tree falling. I live in a neighborhood, lots of trees, these giant 100-year oak trees, and those things fall. They fall every time there's even a bluster. And I'm not saying a big tree doesn't fall, but something falls. And there's a Georgia Power truck out there the next morning or that night trying to fix things. So I'm tuning into WSB when there's a problem. And maybe that's what you're doing this morning. Hey, this is a rough week for stocks. Down 1,400 points on the Dow. Maybe this is a week you're tuning into Money Matters thinking, hey, this is a rough week. This is a problem. Let's hear what Money Matters and the Money Matters team has to say. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Down tremendously this week. Anywhere from 5.5% to 6% for the S&P 500 just for the week. And here, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of issues that the market is having serious indigestion about. And I wanted to talk about those very important factors today. There's three of them that I want to keep an eye on, and I want to discuss today to see if they are truly daggers that will bring this market down or not. Here we were in the last 2 years, 2016, 2017, straight up like an escalator, slowly moving higher. Beautiful, wonderful market, made it seem easy. The beginning of this year, 2018, just off to the races, up 8%, day after day after day, an unfathomable speed and gain. And then, wham, soon as we had a whiff of inflation, ironically, it was a good jobs report that came out for the month of January, and all of a sudden markets just went into a tailspin. Wait a minute, maybe we're going to inflation. Maybe that means the Fed's going to raise interest rates too quickly, choke off the economy. Boom, 12, 13% fall for stocks. Then very quickly, almost as faster than it had happened on the downside, we went right back up almost to where we were at almost back to all-time highs. And then all of a sudden, politics, now the market is awake again. And we're worried about what's happening in a number of areas. And it's not just Washington, but I think part of the main catalyst has to do with what's happening in the White House, the changes that are happening, the tariffs that we talked about last week that have gotten even more extensive this week. So that's what we need to talk about today. We are on Fed watch. Interest rates are going up in a number of different areas and measures around the world. It's not just our federal funds rate, but it's LIBOR that has been rising over the last several weeks. So we have to keep an eye on that. Number two, Facebook. So we've got to watch the Fed. We're watching Facebook, and we're watching the fight over trade and tariffs. All of this together kind of encircling markets and creating an enormous amount of volatility. And when I always say volatility, it's a nice sugarcoating word for, it's a nice way to sugarcoat massive drop. And that's exactly what we saw for a week in stocks. This is a lot for 1 week, even in the stock market that is known to be a wild bucking bronco roller coaster. And that's what we have our eye on today. So you've tuned into Money Matters. We're going to talk that through. We're going to also go to the phones and answer your particular question. So if you're just nervous and you haven't had anybody to talk to about this, and you wonder why you're doing what you're doing, hey, should I be doing this? I've got all these mutual funds, and these mutual funds are supposed to be good, and they don't seem to be any good. And you want to talk to somebody about that, then that's what we do here on Sunday mornings. If you have a bunch of ETFs and you think they're supposed to be stable, and they're not, maybe you don't know exactly what's underneath the hood. Do you know what's inside of that particular investment? Do you know, is it stocks? Is it bonds? Is it what kind of stocks? Are they U.S.? Are they mid, small, international? Are they emerging markets? Do they pay dividends? Do they not pay dividends? Are they growing dividends? Are they utility companies, defense companies, financial companies? What do you really own? What kind of bonds do you have in your bond ETFs or bond mutual funds? Do you know what you own? You heard me talking about treasuries recently. The 1 year treasury bond now pays 2% or more. Do you have a bunch of cash sitting around doing nothing? So your bank's making money off of you, or your investment company's making money off of you, when you could just go out and buy a 1 year treasury bond, easily done. It might sound complicated, but just as easy as buying any other stock in your investment account. If you want to sit through this just in safe U.S. treasuries that mature in 12 months from now anyway. So you're back to liquid in a year from now, you ride out the storm. Maybe that's been on your mind too. So I'm happy to take those questions. And it might be something more like a required minimum distribution question, an RMD, a Roth question, an IRA question, 403B, 401K, your TSP account, you name it, 457 plan. We're here to take those calls and talk it through on a Sunday morning after a pretty volatile week when it comes to stock. So give us a call here this morning. We're on until noon, and we'll take calls in this hour. The number 404-872-0750. You may be pulling out of church or waiting to go into church. I don't know what time you go to church, but we're here on a Sunday morning. Again, the number 404-872-0750. Or 1-800-WSB-TALK. So before we go to the phones, we'll talk about kind of what's happening in the world here. So number one, we've got these, we've heard all week about the trade tensions between the U.S. and China, our biggest frenemy economically, geopolitically. So we say, hey, we're going to do $60 billion now in tariffs. And this is after, last week we talked about steel and aluminum tariffs. Now it's $60 billion, or 2 weeks ago. Now this week it's $60 billion in just tariffs in general on Chinese goods. China says in response to that, hey, you know what? You say tax, or basically a tariff or a tax on our goods, we're going to do the same to your goods. So now $3 billion on U.S. goods. We've now interjected a new element of uncertainty to these markets. This is a new problem to work through. This thought of tariffs imposed by our government and their government that can just be instilled in a pen stroke without a vote. That's something that is we have not had to deal with this for decades. This is for the most part, this is new. And of course, stocks don't like it. Stocks do not like the whole new ball of uncertainty. Down over 700 points on Thursday, down over 400 points on Friday. The market hates this kind of stuff. And now we're back into correction territory for the Dow. Very close, again, for the S&P 500. And that, when I say correction, I mean the 10% level. Not to mention the first real backlash against Facebook. So tech, totally separate, tech under pressure as well. And, oh, by the way, another rate hike and a Fed or a Federal Reserve talking about how strong, again, ironically, how strong the economy is, which could mean even more rate hikes which again would work against a strong economy. So the question is, does it stop here? Do we see more issues with trade? And how does this back and forth between Trump and Xi Jinping, what's this back and forth mean? Is it going to go to an all-out trade war? I mean, that's really what the market's scared about. And then does Facebook go, I mean, this is the first real battle that Facebook has had to fight. Do they go the way of MySpace? Remember, MySpace was just on fire. Everybody on MySpace, millions of people using it. And then you turn around 6 months later, it's basically irrelevant. Could that happen here? And then does the Fed choke off the economy with higher interest rates? So you got, these are some tough questions. These are tough questions to answer. In the end, I think this could be a turning point for some of these issues, not all of them. Others that I just mentioned, I don't think will end up being a dagger for this market and or for this economy. So the top three issues facing this market we'll cover today here, we'll continue to talk about this, making you nervous, making Wall Street nervous. One, the Fed. Two, Facebook. And three, fight over trade. And we will take these today here on Money Matters one at a time. We'll also take your calls and questions at 404-872-0750. More Money Matters right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 straight ahead. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here. WSB Radio, Wes Moss, your host, 404-872-0750. Ken joins us on the line. Ken, what's going on? Welcome to Money Matters.
Hi there, Wes. So if we look at this dip as a buying opportunity, what would look good to buy?
Well, it really depends kind of on your horizon, where you are in the cycle. Are you 25? Ken, or are you 55 already in retirement, or 65 already in retirement? Where are you?
I'm 72, already in retirement. I have $30,000 to $200,000 I could invest into something right now.
Okay, so a couple of thoughts here. I mean, if you look at just the general market, right? So remember, we want participation in broad indexes is the first thing to look at, right? So if you look at, you could always look at anything that's tied to the general market. So look at Vanguard Dividend Appreciation ETF. If you pull up VIG, you're going to see these great names inside of an ETF that we've talked about for a long time. And now because of the general market pullback, it's gotten caught up in the storm, just like everybody else. So you can look at a variety of high quality companies that have gotten absolutely crushed just in the last week or two. And that in itself is a way to do exactly what we're supposed to be doing, Ken. And I'm so glad you called and asked this. It's an important question. That in itself is what we're supposed to be doing as investors. So if you take a look at any one of these high quality ETFs, you will look inside and you will see big companies, and they've gotten caught up in this storm as well. If you pull out Vanguard Dividend Appreciation ETF, it's one that I own and I've owned for a long time that I would be buying more of right now.
Okay, I've got a bunch of it too.
So. Oh, you already have dividend appreciation. And so this is a great lesson for anybody else that's listening. You take a look at this ETF. Well, on the surface, we say, oh, it's VIG. What does that really mean? Well, inside of VIG is what really matters. So you're buying on at a much cheaper price than you would have a week and a half ago. Microsoft, Johnson & Johnson, 3M, Pepsi, Medtronic, United Technologies, Texas Instruments, Accenture, Union Pacific, the Railroad, Abbott, and Lockheed. And if you go down that list, really the only real performers, by the way, Ken, here's what's not necessarily flashing great deal, because it's kind of bucked the trend, was defense this week, right? If you looked at the defense companies on Thursday, or really Friday, and this part of this has to do with Trump signing that big omnibus soup that was, you know, $1.3 trillion, more money going to defense. We talked about this last year, Ken. I don't know if you own any of these defense companies, but you look at Raytheon or Lockheed Martin on Friday, you know, the world was cascading lower and these defense companies were actually cascading higher. So this is the time where you would probably, if you're looking for a deal, something that's on sale, you'd not be looking at the defense companies because they've kind of bucked this trend a little bit and they've done well. But you'd look at some of these other big blue chip names, like I just mentioned, and find the ones that are down the most. If you don't want to buy the individual companies, Ken, and that might be your next step here. If you already own some of these ETFs, SDY, DVY, VIG, some of the same ETFs I've talked about for years that I own, that I want to buy more
every time.
Yeah, and I want to buy more of them when we're down 10%. Quite frankly, and this is just a reminder for all of us, I want to buy even more of them when we're down 20%. And we're down further than that, I want to buy even more of these. So if you don't want to buy the individual companies I just mentioned, remember that these ETFs are baskets of these very companies that you can buy all at once as markets go lower and lower. And the further down we go, provided the backdrop is stable, and it is in America because the underlying here, the economy is still very good to great, quite frankly, and we've got tax reform coming that will make it even stronger and start to erase some of these trade fears. At least that's what I think as the year goes on. Good morning. You're listening to Money Matters. We're going to go to quick news, weather, traffic, then more of your calls and questions right here. News 95.5 AM 750 WSB straight ahead.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. 10:36 on a rainy... It looks like the rain's slowing down a little bit. Good morning. A rainy Sunday morning. You're probably headed to or from church in the car. Maybe headed out to Home Depot. I don't know. Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to Money Matters. You tune into Money Matters when something's kind of not right, whether it's weather or traffic or maybe Sunday morning for Money Matters because there's something not great with a stock market this week. And that's exactly what we're coming off of, a negative 6% week. Really the worst week since the very beginning of 2016. So we've had some real volatility in markets. So much of this has to do with tariffs and the worry that the tariff tit for tat back forth turns into a trade war as opposed to this kind of surface conversation, surface fight so far. You know, if you think about it, $3 billion, the reaction. So we say $60 billion, they say on Chinese goods, they say $3 billion on U.S. goods. I mean, think about the real nominal, the nominal amount here is just tiny, tiny, tiny. You know, if you think about $3 billion, you get a tax of 15 to 20%. You're talking about $500 million, which is just nothing in these $20 trillion and our $20 trillion global U.S. That's just the U.S. Our $20 trillion GDP. China's not that far behind us. So these are tiny, tiny numbers around the margin. We're talking about 0.001% of GDP. So not a big deal on the surface. The question is, does it escalate? Does it go? It becomes some sort of real fight, and that's what we're kind of talking through today. The risks to this market. Number one, the Fed raising rates. Number two, Facebook that we'll get to. And number three, the fear of a trade war or the fear of tariffs. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. John joins us on the line. John, good morning. What's going on? How can I help? John, are you with me? Can I hear?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
Hey, John. Hey, no worries. No worries. What's going on? How can I help?
I appreciate your insight. See, I usually listen to you every Sunday morning. And you brought up, I've been very confused about these tariffs. You brought up just now and almost answered my question, but I'm confused by what Trump is doing, and that is that we're putting a $60 billion trade deficit on China. But they're not putting that much on us. that kind of doesn't make a lot of sense. In other words, we can't expect to compete with China if China's paying their people $5 an hour and our people are getting paid $20 an hour. Does that make any sense?
Well, just remember, okay, so I think that this is the first thing to clear up on this. When we're talking about trade, remember that this the numbers that are getting thrown around are on the aggregate amount of goods traded. So if you think about, so that's like the first thing I think, I bet you, I'm sure people have been a little confused on that this week. And just remember that when we say $60 billion worth of goods, it's not a $60 billion tariff. It's a tariff of 15 to 20% on $60 billion worth of goods. So that's the first thing to think of, okay?
Yeah, okay, that's good.
All right, so it's so really, if you start doing the math, it gets relatively insignificant. They're $3 billion on the, that's the gross amount of our goods going into their country. 15, 20% of that, it's $500 million, right? What's $500 million when it comes to a $20 trillion economy? It's 0.00, here I did the math, it's 0.0025 of a percent. Now, what is the $60 billion we impose? How does that hurt them? Well, we're talking about their products getting about $10 billion more expensive for us to buy. If you go on the other side of this, the tariffs that they impose on our goods, it makes our stuff more expensive. So here's a perfect example. If you look at what does it cost to buy a Jeep Wrangler in the United States, right? It costs $25,000 in the U.S. Let's call it $30,000 in the U.S. to buy a Jeep Wrangler. What does it cost if you're in China? It costs like $70,000 to buy the same Jeep Wrangler. Why? It's because they're imposing a tariff to make our goods more expensive to Chinese consumers because they're trying to help or protect or prop up their companies. So they want you to buy, if you go down a list of Chinese car companies, they want you to buy a Dongfeng car. That's one of their big their automakers. It's like part of their big four of the Dongfeng. I don't know how to pronounce this stuff. They want you to buy a BYD or a Geely they want you to get an SUV, not from an American company. They don't want you to buy a Ford SUV. They want you to buy a Chery, Chery SUV. And they impose a percentage price increase on our goods so that local consumers over there will buy their stuff versus our stuff. And that's exactly what, so the question is, what are these supposed to do, right? Are we doing this to punish them or are we doing it to help our guys, our home team compete? And I think the answer is in this particular case of tariffs, it's both of those two items. It's one, it's saying, hey, we've got the steel industry in the United States and the aluminum industry in the United States. Chinese steel has arguably a much lower quality. So that means lower standards, lower quality. That means they can dump their steel on the global marketplace and reduce the overall cost of steel, which then hurts, you know, my hometown Lucan Steel Company from the town of Coatesville, Pennsylvania, where I grew up. So it hurts the U.S. steel makers that have obviously a much higher standards, higher cost of labor, and it hurts us in the global marketplace. Now, I think that's not a great example, even though China and steel, that's kind of been in the headlines. Ironically, we basically buy almost no steel from them anyway. We buy like 1% of our steel from China. On the other side of it, John, as you and I are talking about tariffs, I think it obviously is a form of punishment as well. You know, there's a couple great op-eds this week about all of the intellectual property that gets stolen by China, right? In order for a U.S. company to go over there, what do they want? They want you to sign over everything. They want you to sign over all the intellectual property that you have as a company in order to access their billion plus consumers. They say, well, look, you want to be here. You want to sell to us. Then you got to give us your data. You got to give us your intellectual property. So
let me ask you this question, and you've answered my question. I appreciate it. But so we are basically putting tariffs on China or other countries that are approximately what they're putting on us in various goods. Is that a correct statement or an incorrect statement?
Well, I would say maybe on a proportional statement, because remember, we import a whole lot more from them than they import from us. So,
okay.
So you can look at it that way, where we buy tons of their stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
We don't really buy a whole lot. They don't really buy a lot of our stuff. So think about it. Here's what we buy from them, right? We buy consumer electronics from the Chinese, $200 billion plus.
Mm-hmm.
We buy electronic equipment. We buy we get machinery made, and we purchase parts of machinery from them. We buy a ton of apparel from the Chinese. We get we make our stuff gets made over there. We buy it back from China. We buy a ton of our furniture that's here in the United States. We buy it from China and it comes over here. Fabricated metal gets made over there. We buy it. We buy leather from the Chinese. A ton of the leather that here in the United States from China. Chemicals comes from over there. Plastics comes from China. Textiles comes from China. What do they buy from us? They basically buy soybeans and planes. That's really what they get from us.
Right. That's exactly what you're saying. And it's also a situation where, in a broad term, this $60 million is going to kind of wash out. Now, the $60 million that we get from them may be on A, B, and C, whereas that we put on them may be on A, B, and C.
Well, John, here's what I think is happening. Right now, the numbers, even though they sound big, right? They sound $60 billion, right? That's just the amount of goods, and then we're going to pay, there's going to be a tariff on that amount. Barely any sort of price increase on our goods going over there. So what I see here is this is just a bunch of symbolism. All this is right now is a fight over, it's us repositioning ourselves as a country economically and saying, look, we want to punish you for stealing our intellectual property for all these years. We want to take a harder line stand in order to do so. So
right.
These are a sim.
Trump said this a million times, is level the playing field, right?
Right. And I think, John, that's what we're trying to do here. I think that these numbers right now are not big enough to be economically meaningful. However, symbolically, we're trying to move in the direction of showing more strength, less tolerance from you guys stealing our stuff. And this is a step to show strength in that. No economist, there is no disagreement that tariffs are bad economically because they're effectively a tax. It's a tax on them, and if we impose them, it's a tax on us. Right? If we want to buy their goods and we impose a tax on it, we still have a free open economy here, they're more expensive. So there's no disagreement within the economic community that they're bad. Tariffs are bad economically if it becomes a big part of our economic system. What's happening here, these are just small symbolic tariffs that are trying to send a message. So if it stays here, John, I think that Trump is trying to say, look, we don't want to tolerate this. He's trying to show some signs of strength to do that. And that's the stage that we're in. If we leave it here, John, I think we're totally fine. This has zero negative impact on the economy. If this turns into a giant trade fight and we impose tariffs on $1 trillion of goods or $500 billion, that's an issue. If they impose tariffs on $50 billion of our goods going to them, that becomes a real problem. So that's why I don't think we will get there. I don't think that this spit spat, this is like a couple of 9-year-olds fighting each other. Not a lot of damage is getting done, right? That's for now. If this fight turns into two heavyweights fully hitting each other with full might and power, that's when you can see this economy taking a real hit. That's when you'll see the stock market take a real hit, much beyond what we saw this past week. I just don't think we get there. I don't think we get there because all economists understand that this is bad for business if it continues from here. That's why we will be keeping a very sharp eye on what happens with global trade and tariffs with our big economic rival, China. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, taking your calls and questions. We're going to run to quick news, weather, traffic, then more Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning. The number 404-872-0750 in the studio. And there's just a lot to talk about. We've been discussing trade, these tariffs. Do we get into a trade war? Does that ruin the U.S. economy, ruin the U.S. stock market? Listen, it's something to keep an eye on because I don't think it escalates significantly from here. I think a lot of what's happening is symbolic. But this is a tough one to figure out. This is not something that is black and white. There's a lot of gray between where we are and where we could go or could fizzle from here and not get any more punitive. We're just going to have to keep a very close or sharp eye on that. We will go to the phones here. Ryan, where are we headed now? We are headed to Mary, who joins us from Sewanee. Mary, good morning. What's going on? How can I help?
Oh, good morning. Well, I'm calling about we have an adjustable mortgage, and they adjust it annually according to the – I heard you mention the London LIBOR rate, and I'm wondering, is the London LIBOR way of calculating that better than maybe refinancing with another company that doesn't use the London LIBOR?
Well, the potentially yes, only because LIBOR has just started to go up and go it's going up in a relatively significant way. Mm-hmm. So LIBOR has jumped over 0.5% just recently. That means that and so many loans, Mary, are tied to LIBOR. Not just your there's a lot of home equity lines, there are mortgages tied to LIBOR. Companies borrow money, so a lot of corporate money, corporate fixed income, that's tied to LIBOR. So as rates start to go up, and LIBOR doesn't necessarily go up just because the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. There's some there's some other currents there. Part of what's happening with LIBOR is there's a ton of new supply of treasuries here in the U.S. So you can find a loan that's not tied to LIBOR, Mary. However, wherever you go, this is a little bit like a game of whack-a-mole. If you go to and switch to another interest rate, then you might very well be in the same boat with rates going up. The bottom line here is that in general, you've got to expect and protect yourself from rising interest rates, because whether you use a LIBOR or prime or any other index, you're probably going to see rates climb higher over the course of the next year or so. You're listening to Money Matters. When we get back, 11 o'clock hour, we go back to the phones. Here we're talking the Fed, Facebook, and the fear over trade. Right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.